V'zeh b'chinas k'siva sefer Torah. And this whole concept is tied into the writing of a sefer Torah. Ki haksav shel ha-sefer Torah zeh b'chinas na'aseh v'nishma. Because the writing of the sefer Torah is tied into na'aseh v'nishma. Shemamshichin b'chinas ha-nishma lemato v'oisn mimenu b'chinas na'aseh. In writing a sefer Torah, we are drawing the nishma, which is up on a high level, we're bringing it down and we're making it into na'aseh. Ki tzorich lichtoves ha-sefer Torah lishmo dafka. Because one of the most critical requirements in writing a Sefer Torah or tefillin or mezuzahs, is that at the time the Sefer is writing it, he has to have in mind that he's writing it l'shem kedushas Sefer Torah. I'm writing this in order for it to have the holiness of a Sefer Torah. This isn't like a pharmacist writing a prescription or somebody else writing a novel, or writing a book, or a person says, what do you mean? What is a sefer? He's a writer, like any other writer. There's a writer, this writer, that writer. No. A sefer has to be in a different league. A sefer has a certain prerequisite called Yiras Shamayim, where a person can be the most artistic person in the world, and he's not a sefer at all. Why? Because he doesn't believe in Hashem. He doesn't believe in the Torah. He doesn't realize that what he's writing is something different from anything else in the world. What he's writing has to have holiness to it. It has to have a spiritual light in it. And in order for that to happen, that depends on what he's thinking at the time. If he thinks, if he focuses, he concentrates all of his attention that I'm writing this for Hashem and I'm writing this l'shem kedusha sefer Torah, then it's a sefer Torah. If not, it's simply a piece of paper, a piece of parchment with some words on it. Ki tzorech lichtoves ha-sefer Torah lishmo dafka. The sefer Torah has to be written lishmo, with the proper intentions. Kim loikos v'lishem kiddush ha-sefer Torah. Because if he wrote it, and it's perfect, the computer checks it, and it's got every letter, it's not missing a single letter, it's not missing a single drop of ink, none of the letters are touching, everything is perfect, but he didn't write it l'shem kedusha sefer Torah, his mind wasn't attached to Hashem at the time, and he didn't intend that this is for the holy, I'm writing this for the holiness of sefer Torah, psula, it is invalid, it is not a kosher sefer Torah. Ki lo yichal oleho ha-kedusha, because the holiness, which is one of the most important ingredients of a sefer Torah, and one of the most important qualities of a sefer Torah, the holiness is absent. It is not there if he didn't have this kavon at the time he was writing it. Ki lo yichal oleha kedusha v'gam tzorech sheyichtoiv kol hashemois shebo l'shem kedushas Hashem. Besides the concentration that the sefer has to have when he's writing every word, when he writes Hashem's name, which is pretty often in a sefer Torah, every time he writes Hashem's name, he has to have in mind l'shem kedushas Hashem, that I'm writing here something unique, something very different. I'm writing the name of Hashem. It's incredible, Hashkocha, that we're learning this now. I think it's too long to go into now the full story, but I'm going to try to mention it briefly, and maybe at another occasion we'll put it on tape because it's worth being put on tape. One of the most special stories that I ever, ever, ever heard in my life, and especially from Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Levracha, which he told over at a Shalashuris. Shalashuris is the holiest time of the week. That's the most special time. And he devoted an entire Shalashuris year to this story. Is a story that takes place about 500 years ago, around the time of the Arizal, maybe a little bit before the Arizal or around that time. There was a great tzaddik by the name of Rav Moshe Galanty. The Galanty family was known as Tzadikim, Mekubolim, great Tzadikim at that time, during the 1400s, 1500s. This Tzadik was a tremendous Talmud Chacham in the revealed parts of the Torah, in the hidden parts of the Torah, and in all the Chachmas of the world. The Gemara tells us that a person who studies Torah properly and fully will be knowledgeable, will attain knowledge in all the wisdoms of the world, music, mathematics, architecture, everything, He'll know everything because all of it is included in the Torah. And during his time, there was an Arab sheikh who was also known to be a very wise, very learned person. Not only that, but people came to him like a holy man. People who had any kind of crisis, major problem, they wanted children or somebody was very sick, they would come to this Arab and he would pray and he would be able to tell them who's going to live, who's going to die. Like the Gemara says about Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa. This tzaddik heard about it and he couldn't help himself. He was amazed, you know, what's going, number one, what's going on here? This tzaddik knew his own greatness, his own closeness to Hashem, and yet he knew he couldn't do that. He could be mispalil, but he couldn't say. The Gemara says that there was one of the leading rabbis in the Gemara had this power, that when he davened after his tefillah, he was able to tell a person clearly this whether they're going to live or they're going to die, based on how his tefillah was presented. And he heard that this Arab is doing this. He had to find out about it. So he sent the Parnei Soyer, one of the leaders of the city, the Jewish community at the time, to go to this Arab sheikh and to ask him if he would please be willing to give this great tzaddik an audience with him, that he should be able to meet him. He agreed. Reb Moshe Galanty went to meet him and he welcomed him with respect. Both showed tremendous respect to each other and they started speaking for a while. And in their conversation, it led into a discussion in one of the seven wisdoms, one of the seven chachmos. And they're talking, and this Arab is in awe. He never met such a person in his life, a person who knows so much, you know, about everything. And he enjoyed the conversation with him so much that he told him at the end that I'd like to make a kvius with you. I'd like to have that we should get together once a week to speak. Would you be willing? And the rabbi right away said yes, and they started a relationship. 2 days later, the Arab couldn't hold out anymore. He couldn't wait. He sent one of his loyal people with a horse, with all kinds of respect, you know, to go to Reb Moshe Galanty to beg him if he's willing to come, not to wait a week. He came, spoke again, went into another chachma, spoke, and the Arab saw that he knew. The Arab asked him, are you knowledgeable in this chachma? He said, Hashem has blessed me with a little bit, I know a little bit about it. He spoke to him, he saw he knew everything, everything, everything. This went on again and again and again till they got to the seventh of the seven chachmos. And they got it into a place of the conversation where the Arab revealed that he doesn't know something. There's a certain part of this chachma that he doesn't know, and he pleaded with Reb Moshe Galanty to please reveal this to him. So Reb Moshe Galanty smiled and he said, you should know that this knowledge did not come to me easily. You know, it was very, very difficult. So the Arab looked at him and he said, Rabbi, please, name your price, whatever you want, you know. So he laughed. He said, price, I'm not talking about the money. I'm willing to trade my knowledge in this area with you to reveal to you this critical piece of knowledge that you don't have in this one of the wisdoms in exchange for something. The Arab looks at him, exchange, I have something you don't have. Are you kidding? You know, so he says, yes. He says, I want you to reveal to me your power of prayer and how you're able to know who's going to live, who's going to die. The Arab turned colors and everything, and he said, please don't, I can't. This you can't ask me. I'm sworn that I can't reveal it to anybody. The rabbi smiled and said, I'm also sworn not to reveal, you know. So he said, sworn means not to reveal it for money or for shtuyot, you know, for nonsense. But if in exchange you're going to get something that you don't have, that's going to, then of course you. The Arab says to him, please, Rabbi, even if I wanted to, it's something that's so difficult, I don't think you could possibly do it. The rabbi looks at him and says, try me, you know. So P.S., the Arab saw no way out. He said, okay. He said, I want you, when you leave here now, I want you to go home, and I want you to spend the rest of the day in contemplation, alone, reviewing all of your deeds and analyzing, because no person, no human being is perfect. Everyone has mistakes, everyone has faults. To analyze everything about your character, anything that's wrong, and to really contemplate it, and to want to try to eliminate, to correct everything that you need to correct in yourself that needs correction. And then tonight, you'll begin a fast, a two-day fast, 48 hours. And when you break the fast, you'll fast and break the fast at night, and then another day of fasting. When you break the fast, you're not allowed to have any wine or any meat. And then on the third day, you'll come to me and we'll go further. The rabbi left. Cheshbon HaNefesh was something he was very aware of, he knew about. So he went home and he had deep, deep hispoidus contemplation and everything. And then he fasted the first day and he fasted the second day, and he decided he's not breaking his fast at all. He's coming to the Arab on the third day after 48 hours of fasting, period. He comes and the Arab looks at him and he sees how weak he is, but he sees a light shining on him. You know, he sees how spiritual he is. He says, I see that you've fulfilled what I told you. Now come with me. He pulls out a set of keys and he says, nobody in the world has these keys. Not my wife, nobody, nobody. And he takes him to a certain room in his palace there, and he opens the door, and the door leads out to a beautiful, beautiful, like an orchard, like a beautiful, that looks like a garden, a gorgeous garden, like something extraordinary. And they start walking, and they walk maybe a few hundred feet, and then he sees a gorgeous, like a pond in the garden, like a mikveh. And he sees a bench nearby, like a stone bench, with two long white garments, pure white garments. And the Arab tells him, we're going to dip in these waters, and we're going to put on these white garments, and then we'll go further. They do it. They go further. They walk further to the other end of the garden, and then they come to a gorgeous structure, something like for a king. And the Arab says, it's inside this building that you're going to see what you asked me about. But he says, before you go in, you have to take everything else out of your mind. You have to be focused only on what you're going to see here, only what's going on here. Make sure that you have no extraneous thoughts going on in your mind at the time. And the doors are made of like a pure silver, gorgeous, shiny silver. Opens these doors. And they're about to walk in, and the Arab bows. He sees at the other end of this huge, huge like room, he sees like a heichal, something the equivalent of an Aron Kodesh by us. And the Arab bows seven times. So now Rav Moshe Galanty is thinking, who knows what's in there? Who knows if it's an Avodah Zarah? What do I do? But the Arab looks at him and says, do as I say. So he's concentrates in his mind, Shivisi Hashem Lanegdi Somed, that he's only connecting himself to Hashem, he's only bowing to Hashem, to nothing else in the world, and he bows the seven times. The Arab takes out a key and tells him, now go over and open that beautiful, casket. So he goes over and he sees that it's made of gold, solid gold, with all kinds of diamonds and rubies, all kinds of precious stones on the outside. He opens the doors, and he sees inside a menorah, something that looks like a menorah, solid gold, gorgeous. And on top of the menorah, he sees like a tablet that says on it, Shivisi. And then it has Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, in very large letters, extra large letters, Lenegdi Samed. So he sees it. He's very impressed. He never saw it so gorgeous. Made of the most expensive gold and everything. And he's so happy that he didn't bow to any idol or anything like that. He sees it. He stays there for a minute or two, and then he closes it, and he goes out to the entranceway. And the Arab says, now come out. And he says, the Arab looks at him with a big smile, and he says, now I fulfilled what I told you. I revealed to you what I said I was going to reveal. So he says, I know that that's something very special, but you didn't tell me yet your secret. He said, you saw those four letters in the middle? That's the name of the one who created the entire world, the universe, everything. That's the name. And any time that somebody asks me to pray, I prepare myself very, very well. I purify myself and everything. And I come here and I contemplate and I pray. And then when I look at those letters, if I see that the letters are shining, I know that the prayer was accepted. And if not, if I see that the letters are dark, then I know that the person's not going to live. This rabbi heard all of this. It says he went home and he burst into tears, crying hysterically. how this Arab taught him what the name of Hashem, what the kind of respect, look at the respect that this Arab had before he approached the name of Hashem. How many things he did, how many prerequisites, fasting and toiveling and going over, and how this Arab knew, this Arab had no idea that the Jews have this, that they know this name of Hashem, and that we mention this name of Hashem repeatedly. In Shmon Esrei, we say it 25 times, you know. And how could it be that we say it without realizing, without really being serious about what we're saying, knowing that this is the source of all goodness and all blessing in the entire creation, is all the name of Hashem. And this story is brought in several places. It's brought in the Sefer Tameh HaMinhagim on page Tof Tzadik Zayin. And it's brought in the name of a Sefer Mosaik Midvash, you know, that quotes this entire story. And I remember at the time when Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Levracha, told this over, he told it a little bit more elaborately, and slowly we're trying to pack it into part of the shir. I remember it left such an imprint at the time. Halavai, hearing it again should give us a whole new charter, a new realization that when we daven, when we make a bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, when we say that word Hashem, to slam on the brakes and to think of what we're saying, that we are actually permitted to recite. We don't recite the name of Hashem, Yudke Vovke, the way it's written, but even to be permitted to recite it the way we're allowed to, Ah, then Do, and then Noi, you know, even to be privileged to say that. That is such a holy, look at how we're learning here. That makes a difference. A person can have a Sefer Torah, can spend $40,000 on the parchment and the ink and the best scribe. If you didn't have the right intention when you were writing the name of Hashem, the Sefer Torah is nothing. It's not a Sefer Torah, Chas v'Shalom. So he said that he's writing it, and when he writes each one of the names, he has to have in mind L'shem Kedushas Hashem. And now Rav Nosson Zal explains. The intention that the sofer has to have is that he's writing this to fulfill the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah, l'shem kedushas Sefer Torah, and for it to have the holiness of a Sefer Torah, u'l'shem kedushas Hashem, and that it should have the holiness of Hashem's name in it, zois hakavono hi b'chinas nishma. Those intentions, all of those intentions, those thoughts, are all in the category of nishma. That's something very deep. That's a very, very high level. Bechinas tefillah. That's associated with tefillah. Because again, in tefillah, a person is speaking to Hashem. They're making that deep, deep spiritual connection to Hashem. If they're not doing that, if they're not thinking that, then it's not tefillah. If a person is simply looking at the sitter and they're not even saying the words with their mouth, that's one big problem. But then even if the person is saying the words with their mouth, but their mind and heart is somewhere else at the time, they're not thinking, I'm speaking to the Creator. I'm right in front of His face. Reb Michal Zichron Levracha used to say, when you say the word Atah, Baruch Atah Hashem, Atah is you. I'm saying, blessed are you, Hashem. When I say the word you, it's kavi. I'm standing mamish in front of Hashem's face, speaking directly to Him. If a person isn't aware of that, then they're not really davening. It's not serious. Shehi b'chinas dveikus ubitul ein soif. We know that tefillah is dveikus. It's a deep, deep spiritual connection with Hashem. And it's nullifying oneself to the infinite light of Hashem. The Shulchan Aruch says, when it introduces the topic of Shmon Esrei, that the earlier tzaddikim, when they would be davening to Hashem, they would have hispashtus hagashmius. They would first detach themselves from everything physical. So that if you would step on it, on this person's toe when he was davening Shmon Esrei, he wouldn't know about it. Because the nerves connecting the toe to the brain were shut down. He had detached the nervous system from the physical body, and his whole mind, the whole nervous system, was plugged in only to Hashem. There was such a dveikus to Hashem that the body wasn't playing a role at all at the time. Ki mishom mamshichim kol hakedushos. Because it's from this dveikus and bitul to the Ein Sof that we draw all holiness. It's when a person makes that deep connection with Hashem and they put everything else out of their mind and consciousness, that's how you're able to draw holiness into yourself or into your tefillah or into the Sefer Torah that you're writing. And the sofer, before he starts writing, has to plug in his mind and his heart to Hashem. Nishma kanal. This is the concept of nishma that Rabbeinu Zal is referring to over there in Likut Imran. Kidei lahamshich mishom hakedusha. In order to be able to draw from that very high spiritual place that he connected to be able to draw holiness from there. Dahainu, which means shechteveno l'shem Hashem yisborach, that I'm writing this Sefer Torah for Hashem's honor. L'shem kedusha Sefer Torah, it should have the full holiness of a Sefer Torah. U'l'shem kedusha Hashem, and that the names of Hashem that are written here should all have the full holiness of the name of Hashem. U'bekavona zu tzorech shechtov Sefer Torah, and it's with these intentions that the sofer has to be writing the entire Sefer Torah. As he's moving along, his mind has to be on Hashem. Vazai, kishekoisev oisies haTorah bekavono laHashem yisborach laShem kedusha, and then when he's writing the letters of the Sefer Torah with his intent that I'm doing this only for Hashem and only for the sake of holiness. Azai mamshich bechinas hanishma, bechinas hanister, bechinas oira in soif, letoich oisiois hanechtov mesefer Torah. Then he has the ability to draw that light called nishma, that hidden light, that infinite light of Hashem into those physical letters that he's writing, that aleph and the gimel and the vav, each one of those letters that he's writing. He's able with his mind, with his brain, if his brain is properly connected to Hashem at the time, by his brain looking and his eyes looking at those letters as he's writing it, he's shining that infinite light of Hashem, that nishma, that nistar, he's shining it into each one of those letters. Shehem bechinas nase. Those letters are an example of nase. Bechinas asiyo gashmius. They are a physical creation, like we learned in the previous halacha, in the first halacha of Hilchas Sefer Torah. You remember, Rav Nosson Zal explained that writing is malacha. Writing is a physical act of labor. It's one of the 39 acts of work on Shabbos. And it's comparable, lahavdil, like a cow pulling a plow, that's malacha. Writing is also an act of malacha. Writing is in the category of nase. So here's an example where we're connecting the nishma and the nase. The nishma is that deep devotion to Hashem. The nishma is that concentration, that dveikus on Hashem and on Kiddusha Sefer Torah and all of that. And when we're writing, and my brain is attached to my hand is not moving without my brain concentrating on what I'm doing, and that I'm doing this l'shem Hashem, l'shem Kiddusha Sefer Torah, then I'm bringing the light, the nishma, into the nase. Nimtza, shemamshich mi nishma l'nase. So this is an example where I'm drawing from the nishma into the nase. Ki be'emes oisiyos haTorah b'sharoshon, heim oirois ruchniim u'gevoyim oi. Because Rav Nosson Zal says, the truth is, the letters of the Torah, in their origin, from where they originate from Hashem, from upstairs, they are unbelievable spiritual lights. Each one of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet represents super high-level light, spiritual light. V'kulam mushroshim bo yisbar kavyohu. And they're all rooted in Hashem. Bo'er ein soif, in the infinite light of Hashem. The letter Aleph, the letter Beis, the Tikkuni Zohar spends pages explaining each one of the letters, showing how each one of the letters has Hashem's name in it, and how each one of the letters represents the different spiritual worlds and creation and all kinds of stuff. So these physical letters are actually connected in their source to the infinite, infinite light of Hashem. Umishom tzrichim lamshicham lamata. And it's from their source, it's from their origin, that we're trying to bring those letters down into physical creation, into physical form. This is why we have this incredible obligation when writing a Sefer Torah, that the kavana is a very important role in it. What you're thinking at the time, it's not just the physical writing, what you're thinking at the time has tremendous bearing on the success or failure of writing that Sefer Torah. Kalidei ha-kavona shemechavnin v'choisim l'shem kedushas Sefer Torah, l'shem kedushas Hashem, because through the intent that the person is intending at the time he's writing, that I'm writing this l'shem kedushas Sefer Torah, and l'shem the kedusha of Hashem's name, ayidei kavona zu, medabek ha-sofer machshavtei b'Hashem Yisborach b'Ein Ein Sof, through that intention, the sofer connects his mind to the infinite light of Hashem, that's the source of all the different types of holiness that go into the Sefer Torah, and all of the holy names that are in the Sefer Torah, and if he writes the letters of the Sefer Torah with that kavana, through that, he's converting, he's changing nishma into naseh, mitoiras Hashem, toirosoi. He's taking what was originally Hashem's Torah, and he's making it his own, his Torah. We mentioned this earlier, that that's again one of the references to that chapter on the Likutei Moran, where Rabbeinu Zal speaks about Torah versus Tefillah, nishma versus naseh, nister versus nigla. And Hashem, Rabbeinu Zal there mentions Torah Hashem versus Torah, so the Torah of Hashem versus our Torah. In other words, when the Torah starts out, it starts out as Hashem's Torah. The more we learn it, the more we acquire it, it becomes our Torah in a sense. The more we bring it into Naseh, the more we bring it into the physical world. Now you could understand why it's so critical when a person's writing a Sefer Torah that the physical qualities of the writing are important. The fact that the sofer knows all the laws about technically how to write each and every letter, which there are many, many different laws. A person really has to learn a lot to be able to know it and remember all the laws and to get it right. And a person has to be very precise, very talented, to have the patience to sit on each letter. Each letter is like a building, you know, mamish. There are so many details that go into the writing of each and every letter. But more important than that, is the Yirah Shamayim, the incredible responsibility that a sofer has to recognize that he's not building a physical building. This isn't a swimming pool, or this isn't a car, or this is a manifestation of Hashem. And the only way it's going to be that is if his intentions, if his mind is pure and his heart is pure and he's really serious about being connected to Hashem all the time, especially while he's writing, that he's got to be really, really plugged into Hashem at the time and that his brain has to be in a very high place. I remember hearing about Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Avrocha, that when he studied Shechita, all the laws of Shechita and everything related to it, and at one point the one teaching them took them to a slaughterhouse and they showed him everything going, you know, everything. After he got his certificate that he was fully qualified to be a Shechit, he put it away and he said, yeah, he ain't doing this. Because when you learn the ruchnius of what's involved in when slaughtering an animal, you have to elevate its neshama and all kinds of stuff, he said, Let somebody else do it. You know, I'm saying our Torah and Yiddishkeit, every part of it, a person putting on tefillin to think of what we're doing, we're putting on the crown of Hashem at that time, and how careful a person has to be not to be Mesir Das when you're wearing tefillin. There's all kinds of laws, you know, pertaining to every mitzvah, but there are certain mitzvahs where it's even more difficult and more with a level of importance in terms of the concentration of the mind at the time the person's doing it, takes on incredible meaning, just as in this example that we're having of a person writing a Sefer Torah.